Joining us now is Mitch Lyons. You've heard him here on this station a couple times now. Hear him a lot. He used to be, of course, an NFL player with the Falcons and the Steelers. We're talking now, Mitch, about a week or so after the Super Bowl. I got to ask you, though, we haven't had a chance to chat since then. First of all, hello, welcome back. And second of all, what'd you think of the game?
Well, it's great to be back with you, John. And as far as the Super Bowl, wow, just a defensive performance by the Seahawks for the ages. They just they kind of dominated that game from start to finish and set the tone and prove that a good defense can beat a good offense, I guess.
I was of the mindset it was kind of boring. Our sports guy, Kevin Powell, liked it, though, because it kind of met the expectations that he had. And defensive struggles can be interesting. You just got to be in the mood for it. It may not fit Super Bowl vibe, but a lot of people love defense first anyways.
Yeah, no question. But, you know, there's a reason the NFL twists all these rules to favor the offense. Offense sells tickets and creates interest. And the defensive game's all right now and then, but I think they would rather see balls flying all over the place and people getting in the end zone. It makes it a little more exciting. But a great performance by Seattle and just dominating. And here we are a week later, and there's no more football. It feels empty now, and that's true every year. You flip the page, and they're all on equal ground now, and you got 32 teams going for the title 12 months from now.
Yeah, and so much parity, too, in the league. You never know who's up or down, and you can have some guesses, but you don't quite know. All right, I'm going to give you a challenge, Mitch. Since you went from football to finance, I want you to segue now something from the Super Bowl, segue in it to something finance for me, not to put you on the spot.
Oh, yeah. No problem. Well, you know, we talked about defense, right? And I think as people enter retirement, I think that's important to recognize that you need to defend what you've spent decades building up first and foremost.
That's a good
one.
The
last thing you want to do is go into retirement and then all of a sudden have a negative market impact you significantly, say 20-30%, right at the wrong time when you're done accumulating and now it's time to start decumulating and all of a sudden you take a hit like that. So it's key to fortify what you've built and make sure you keep the blitzers away from your retirement.
Okay, well then what are the tools in our tool chest to defend? Because you don't want people just to stash it away in cash or under a mattress. What can we do to defend?
Yeah, sure. No, well, there's certain strategies that, you know, you can certainly go to more conservative, more bonds, fixed income. There's annuity strategies you can look into if folks need, really are keen on creating as much income as they can. Income annuities are a big part of that, and you can really create proportionally more income with an income annuity than you can safely take out of your traditional stock bond portfolio. So that's one way we look to do that. But there's a number of strategies. The important thing is for people to understand exactly where they are. What kind of risk are they taking? And what we find when we chat with folks and analyze their existing portfolios, oftentimes they're taking on a lot more risk than really they're telling us they're comfortable with. Their risk on their portfolio is higher than what their risk analysis is telling us when we talk through it and go through a risk tolerance questionnaire.
Yeah. I feel like a Super Bowl game or any game you're watching where the refs are too involved is one of the most annoying things. Let's call Uncle Sam the referee of our retirement. And boy, you don't want to see him all the time. And unfortunately, a lot of people aren't prepared for just how much you're going to be giving to Uncle Sam.
Well, that's so true, and we see it time and time again. You know, people think they've got, I've saved, I've got, $500,000 in my 401k, and then I ask them, well, how much of that is yours? And they say, well, what do you mean? And I say, well, you got a silent partner on that account. His name's Uncle Sam, and here's the worst part. That silent partner you have, you don't know what percentage he owns. So that is a problem, and we've all kind of been sold the bill of goods of, hey, put money away into a pre-tax account and just pay the tax later, and you think hoping that will be in a lower tax rate. A lot of Americans aren't so keen on the idea that we're ever going to see lower rates than we have now. So if taxes are going up in the future, it doesn't make much sense to keep it in there. So Roth conversions can play a big role in people's retirement planning, getting some of that tax out of the air balloon, air out of the tax balloon, so to speak, and lessen some of that and do it strategically and optimally. And we have a software, a Roth blueprint software, that will analyze exactly for a specific situation, your situation, as to if it makes sense for you to convert and better yet, how to do it optimally.
After that conversion, or maybe as you're going through that, do you guys have a conversation with, like, where to put the riskier, maybe riskier is the wrong word, maybe the investments that have a longer runway, should those then be in the Roth and maybe you put some of the safety in the tax-deferred accounts simply so you are maximizing what you've already paid the taxes on if it's got a longer runway of growth? Do you kind of see what I'm asking?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Every situation is different depending on how soon you might need income from each account. But that's something we look at annually with our clients and say, okay, what's the best way to create the income you need this year, right? And certainly we want to take out some of the taxable accounts if you have them when you're in those lower income brackets, right? Income tax brackets. But when you start getting above those, that's where we might look to, hey, let's maybe take some out of the Roth. But to your point, you've got all this money you've converted to a Roth or you've contributed to a Roth. And if it's longer term money, by all means, let's get it growing aggressively for you. And, you know, take advantage of the fact that you're never going to pay taxes on that. And a lot of folks that come to us, you know, they recognize the fact, hey, we're probably not going to spend it all. I'm probably going to hand this to my kids. Well, then by all means, let's get it converted and get it growing and hand kids tax-free dollars rather than have Uncle Sam take a big bite, which oftentimes is more more tax than what the parents would have paid on it because they're in higher tax brackets. They got to get it all out within 10 years as current law stands, and just creates a big tax burden for the next generation.
Boy, yeah, you're right there, especially if you are planning to hand it to the kids, and hopefully that's a long, long, long time from now. But it's within that long, long, long time that compounding interest does its thing, right? And boy, if it's tax-free and it's compounding and it's years and years in the future, that's generational change you've made.
It really is, and our blueprint will show them exactly just what an impact that will have over time, right? And the longer it snowballs, the bigger the gap is between staying the status quo, kicking the can down the road on paying the taxes versus just ripping the Band-Aid, paying some taxes over a period of years, getting it converted, and then just growing it tax-free the rest of the way. It's a huge difference, and we can show people that very easily.
Is this something that people could take bites out of the apple of with the Roth conversion? Like, I'm 41. I don't know if that's old or young to you, but that's where I'm at. And I feel like I could start, you know, taking bites out of the apple but still staying under a certain income bracket, right? Like, is it okay, yep, even if at the beginning I'm doing little bits of this knowing that maybe in the future I'll be able to do more?
Absolutely. And, you know, the Roth Blueprint software we use will show you exactly that. When I say do it optimally, that's exactly right. So if we want to keep it under a certain tax bracket, we can put that right in there, and it'll show you exactly based on your income and if you're a retiree, factoring in Social Security, maybe other sources of income in retirement, and show how much you can take out each year or convert each year and still keep yourself below a threshold. Say you want to stay in the 24% tax bracket, you don't want to pop up to the 32%. We can show you exactly and how many years it'll take to do that, right? And I always tell people, even if it was a wash mathematically, in my mind, it makes sense to do it because now you have control. You've bought out that silent partner, Uncle Sam, that owns part of that account. And again, none of us would go into a business, partner with somebody on a business, and not know what percentage of it we own. And yet, that's really what we've all done with 401ks and IRAs. We don't know what percentage we own. So the sooner I can buy that partner out and get him out of there, and if the rates increase down the road, fantastic, because I've got control of it now, and it's all tax-free.
For sure. How can people get involved with this, Mitch, if they're interested?
Yeah, well, they can go to our website, MitchLyonsWealth.com. Or they can just text the word blueprint to 844-867-8335. Again, that's blueprint to 844-867-8335. Or just reach out, send employment at MitchLyonsWealth.com. And it takes a 10-minute call, John, to get the info we need, and we can jump right on a Zoom with you and show you exactly what your situation looks like.
844-867-8335, MitchLyonsWealth.com. And I'm trying to make a connection to bring back to the women's hockey team that won gold today. Oh, the best defense can be a good offense. It was a defensewoman who scored the game-winning goal in overtime over Canada, Mitch. See, there we go.
That was awesome. That's a couple of good days of hockey right there. The men winning in overtime, the women winning in overtime. Life is good. Go USA.
Let's keep rolling it. Mitch, I appreciate your time tonight.
All right, brother. Thanks. God bless.
That's Mitch Lyons. We'll talk again soon.